Hello, and welcome back to our study through the book of Exodus. In our last chapter, we saw how God revealed to Moses his plan for him to go back to Egypt and to deliver the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. In this week, we're going to be studying through the 10 plagues that God used to actually deliver the people from Egypt. So we started in Exodus chapter 5. In the beginning, Moses and Aaron appear before Pharaoh to make their request. And I want you to note the response of Pharaoh. It says, "Afterward, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness.' But Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go.'" So Pharaoh's initial response is to say, who is the Lord? And by the way, they used God's personal name here that we learned in the last week, the Yahweh, I am that I am. And so he says, "I don't know this Yahweh. I don't know who you're talking about." So the Egyptians were an extremely religious, extremely superstitious culture. They had numerous gods. They worshipped basically anything that moved or breathed. And so they had tons and tons of gods, including the pharaohs themselves considering themselves to be gods. And so Pharaoh says, "Look, I know many, many gods. I don't know the God that you speak of. I do not recognize his authority here." And so Pharaoh, in essence, making himself of greater authority than the one true God and saying, I'm not going to listen or let your people go. In fact, at this point, Pharaoh decides that because Moses and Aaron are asking, apparently the Hebrew people have too much extra time on their hands if they can even think about leaving. And so he says, let's make their life harder. And so he makes their slavery, the work that they have to accomplish, harder for them. The rest of the chapters that we're reading for this section, what follows, what ensues, is that God proves to Pharaoh who he is. Since Pharaoh said, "I do not know the Lord decided to show him who he was. And so he sends these series of plagues or calamities that mostly affect the Egyptians rather than the Israelites. So in the majority of cases, these plagues were not something that was completely across all of the land of Egypt, but only in the areas where the Egyptians were living rather than in the areas where the Hebrew people were living. And another interesting thing to note about these plagues that God sends is that they are directly in contradiction to some of the Egyptian gods. Each of the 10 plagues was a direct attack against one of the Egyptian gods. So just for example, the Nile River was one of their gods. They worshipped the Nile. They called it Hapi. So they worshipped the Nile, and the first plague that God had Moses perform was to turn the Nile River into blood, thus showing that the true God was more powerful than their Nile River god supposedly was. A second example would be that the ninth plague was darkness over the land of Egypt. The Egyptians worshipped the sun. They worshipped the sun god. They called it Ra. And so God was proving there his power over the sun god Ra by completely blackening out the skies so that the sun would not shine. These are just a few examples, okay? Each of the 10 plagues directly attacked one of the Egyptian gods. And God was demonstrating for Pharaoh, again, who he was and showing him that he was the one true God who had all power. And whatever power Pharaoh had was given to him by God. And so he should have recognized that and released God's people when he was asked. But he did not. A third interesting thing about the plagues is that if you'll remember in an earlier video in this series, we talked about providence, God's providence, his working through everyday activities of life to accomplish his plans in our lives. The other way that God works in our lives is through miracles. And so really, this passage of scripture begins this section of scripture begins the first major period of miracles that we see in the Bible. A lot of people have this false assumption that throughout the Bible, there was always miracles happening. There were always these miracles happening. And that really isn't true. We really only see during the time of Moses, a lot of miracles happening. During the time of Elijah and Elisha, a lot of miracles happening. And during the time of Christ and his apostles, a lot of miracles happening. And elsewise, we don't really see a lot. I mean, there's miracles here and there, but there's not really a lot of miracles happening in between. So that teaches us that the way that God typically operates and intervenes in our lives is through providence, through just everyday events, everyday things that a lot of times people could write off as, you know, maybe it was just coincidence. We know it's really not, because we know God's in control of all things, but something that could be written off as coincidence. That's not what we have with miracles. With miracles is clearly a direct intervention from God that is completely out of the ordinary. That is something completely spectacular. It goes beyond what normally just happens. Okay, you know, for example, the sun being blocked out for 3 full days. That doesn't normally happen. The entire Nile River being turned to blood. That doesn't normally happen. So things like that. So we see God work through miracles in this passage and throughout the Bible, particularly when he is trying to reveal some new truth about himself. Again, that's why we see an influx of miracles around these time periods. During the time period of Moses, there was a need to explain who he was or demonstrate who he was to Pharaoh, and then explain who he is and the relationship he wants to have with the people of Israel as Moses was writing out the law. And so there's a huge influx of miracles as something is being revealed. Same thing with the time of Elijah and Elisha. There was a lot of idolatry in Israel during those days, and so God was trying to reveal himself and his truth and how he wanted his people to live during that time. And so the prophet's message coincided with these miracles, as well as with Jesus, who was trying to reveal the truths about the path of salvation and the gospel, and the apostles carried on that work. And so God did miracles through them to confirm that their words actually were from him. So we see a lot of times that when miracles happen, it is that God is trying to communicate some truth about himself, whereas the majority of the time, he acts in our lives through everyday events, through providence. Those we would not necessarily say are miracles, but we still see the hand of God at work. And so the plagues are incredible demonstrations of God's power and God's work. You know, for sake of time, we're not going to read through all of them. You know, hopefully you'll be reading them through this week, and you can see some of the incredible and powerful things that God does. But I also want to point out and notice one other thing about this passage before we kind of wrap it up, and that is that there are several points throughout this passage in Exodus 5 through 11 in which Pharaoh, in an effort to get God to remove a particular plague, promises that he will let the people go. If only God will remove the plague, but then he breaks that promise. But then Pharaoh goes back and changes his mind. A good example of this is in Exodus chapter 8, starting in verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. But if you refuse then to let them go, behold, I will plague all your country with frogs. The Nile shall swarm with frogs that shall come up into your house and into your bedroom and on your bed and into the houses of your servants and your people and into your ovens and your kneading bowls. The frogs shall come up on you and on your people and on all your servants. The Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff on the rivers, over the canals and over the pools and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So the frogs come up onto the land of Egypt in this particular case. And then notice what happens as we move a little bit later ahead. Verse 8, then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go to sacrifice the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, be pleased to command me when I am to plead for you and for your servants and for your people that the frogs be cut off from you and your houses and be left only in the Nile. And he said, tomorrow. Moses said, be it as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs will go away from you and your houses and your servants and your people. They shall be left only in the Nile. So Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord about the frog, as he had agreed with Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out in the houses, the courtyards, and the fields. They gathered them up together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. So Pharaoh, we see continually doing this and continuing to, rather than choose to receive the revelation of God and to accept who God is telling him that he is and to accept the power of God over his life, he hardens his heart because he wants to be in control. He wants to stay in power in Egypt. And so he hardens his heart. Nevertheless, God was able to work in this entire circumstance, not only to rescue his people through these amazing miracles, but also to demonstrate, not just to Pharaoh, but to the entire world. Keep in mind that at this point in history, Egypt was probably the most powerful country on the world. And so he demonstrated to the entire world at that time. Lots of people heard about this later on in other places, and they marveled at the power of God as he worked through Moses and Aaron to perform these miracles. Now, our key verse in this particular passage comes towards the end of this sequence of plagues, as God is promising to Israel, deliverance is coming, Pharaoh is going to let you go eventually. And he says in chapter 11, verse 9, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Pharaoh will not listen to you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt.'" And so God said, you know, his purpose in all this, God knew that Pharaoh was going to harden his heart. God knew that Pharaoh was not going to respond to the pleading of Moses, to the demonstration of miracles. And yet God says, I am working through this. In fact, God is essentially saying here, it actually works out better this way. Even though for the people of Israel and Moses, it seems like they're failing as their life gets harder, as Pharaoh becomes more hardened, as he does not appear to be wanting to let them go, God says it's better this way, that Pharaoh is not going to listen to you. Why? "That my wonders may be multiplied in all the land of Egypt." It brings to mind Jesus in John chapter 11 when Lazarus had died, and he tells the disciples, "I am glad for your sake that he died." And it's not that Jesus is being cruel when he says this, or harsh when he says this, like, "I wanted him to die." No, but he's saying it's better this way, because he understands, as he said in that passage, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. He knew what he was going to do in resurrecting Lazarus and bringing further glory to the power of God. And so that's a similar concept that we see here, that God is telling him, you know, this is a tough circumstance, and I know it's only going to get tougher in the midst of what you're trying to do, but I also know that through this, my glory, my wonders will be multiplied in all the earth. It's going to bring glory to me even more when people see my power demonstrated, on full display, demonstrated for everyone to see. It's going to increase my glory that much more. And while some people in our world today still reject miracles that happen, or say that miracles don't happen, while some may even reject this passage and say that these miracles couldn't have happened, it is abundantly clear to those of us with an open mind who are willing to look and see that God is truly all-powerful, that he does accomplish everything that he sets out to do. And so he hears the cries of his people earlier in Exodus. He rallies Moses, prepares Moses out in the wilderness, tells him what he needs him to do, and then he delivers. Again, it's not Moses doing these miracles. It's God working through Moses and Aaron to accomplish his plan and perform these mighty works, which not only result in the freedom for the Jewish people, but also in a powerful demonstration of his glory, his power throughout all the earth. I hope and pray something said ministered to your heart, and that you share it with everyone around you. Thank you, and God bless.